Rites of Passage by Gordon Renee. Herrick rose painfully to his feet, trying to rub some sensation into the stump of his left arm. The wound had healed long ago, but down here, in the dank air of the deepest tunnels of the Underhive, it continued to trouble him, reminding him painfully of the place where, years ago, a rusted scavvy blade brought his career as leader of the Orlok-affiliated Steel Skull Gang to an end. It was time once more to deliver the speech. He cast a shrewd eye over the fearful young faces looking at him in the dim light of the tunnel. Generations of Underhive dwellers had left their marks here, and the walls were covered in Ganga graffiti, arcane symbols, faded boasts of warriors now long dead, and dire warnings of what lay beyond the ancient blast doors at the end of the tunnel.
"From here on in, you go alone," Herrick told them sternly. "Anyone who wants to back out better speak up now. There's no shame to it. You won't be the first, and I don't expect you'll be the last."
As he had expected, Dawn, the largest and strongest of the pack, was the first to step forward, eagerly seeking his mentor's approval. Dawn was a born warrior, his face already marked with his first battle scars, proudly won in teenage rumbles against fellow gang members in the gang's fortified settlement, a kilometre or so above this desolate place.
"We will not disappoint you, Herrick,"
Dawn declared loudly, not waiting for the others.
"In 2 cycles' time, we will return to you not as children but as warriors. This I swear to you on the honour of House Orlok."
To his right, Mikhail, already as tall as his father and potentially as good a fighter, with just a little more experience under his belt, nodded his assent. Alongside him, Lan, as wiry and intense as a sump rat, did likewise. Both were keen and brave enough, Herrick knew, but in all matters they followed Dawn, tying their fortunes to his. As he rose through the ranks of the gangs, as he surely would if he survived the coming ordeal, he would take them with him as able lieutenants. Herrick smiled to himself, fondly remembering other, similarly commanding warriors from previous years who had gone on to earn greater glories for the gang. Herrick turned towards the two remaining youths.
"And you, young Jarl, are you and your brother ready for what waits for you on the other side of those blast doors?"
Jarl Rin shifted uneasily, barely raising his eyes from his new ill-fitting boots. As ever, it was his brother, Malin, who answered for him.
"Aye, Master Herrick. Show us our enemies, and we will prove our worthiness to our clan."
Herrick nodded, looking at the pair appraisingly. Such a different pair, not even truly brothers. Malin was strong and capable, and wise beyond his young years. The other, Jarl, was small and pale-skinned, and bore none of the inherited traits of strength and hardiness normally associated with the House of Iron. The boy's parents had died when he was but an infant, killed in a raid upon the Skull's settlement by Cawdor gangers, and he had been taken in by Malin's family and raised as their own. Quick and agile as he was, Jarl had never been the equal of his more confident brother, and Herrick suspected that it was only with Malin's help that Jarl had made it this far through the training.
"Let the runt speak for himself,"
Dawn sneered, his hands clenching into fists.
"Must he always hide in the shadow of his brother?"
Jarl blushed in anger. The runt of the litter, they called him, and spoke out, his voice shaking with emotion.
"My clan has raised me and protected me. All I ask is a chance to serve it in return and reclaim the blood debt owed to me by the murderers of my parents."
Herrick smiled in satisfaction, quietly impressed by the young ganger's resolve. He would need it where he was going.
"Brave words, young Jarl. Now let us see if you can make good on them. The enemies you go to face do indeed carry the colours of House Cawdor. Let your hatred give you strength. But never forget that we have more need of live warriors than dead heroes.
At Harrick's signal, the two gangers who had accompanied them down to the entrance to Hive Bottom, seasoned veterans who had once fought under Herrick's leadership, moved to haul open the immense blast doors at the bottom of the shaft. Beyond these doors, their outer surfaces scarred and pitted by the centuries of ferocious assaults from the things that dwelled on the other side of them, lay a world of darkness and danger. The young initiates crowded around the open doorway, eager to see what lay beyond. Hive Bottom, a place that, until now, they had only heard tell of in childhood stories tailored to frighten them into obedience. A fearful place, populated by mutants and witches, and where deadly traps, toxic waste pools, poisonous mists and grotesque mutant creatures were always waiting to ensnare the unwary. Back when he was leader of the Steel Skulls, leading raids on Goliath merchant convoys and Cawdor settlements under the flag of House Orlok, Herrick had braved the dangers of Hive Bottom many times. Even now, though, he still remembered his very first sight and smell of it during his own rite of manhood, and understood exactly the fear and apprehension his young charges must be feeling now. The two gangers silently scanned the darkness around the doorway, their weapons primed and at the ready for any sign of danger. Satisfied, one of them waved the young bloods forward with a sharp gesture. Dawn looked around at his fellows with a wide, brave grin and strode into the darkness. The others followed with more nervous steps.
"Go easy on him, Dawn,"
one of the veterans said, slapping the lad on the shoulder as he passed.
"Nah. Give those Cawdor scum help, Dawn," the other grinned. "Get yourself back in one piece and I'll give you some of my winnings."
Herrick watched the slight figures disappear from view, knowing that there was no more advice he could give them. For 2 day cycles, he would remain here, waiting to see which, if any, of the young Juves returned.
"Get hunting, all of you,"
called Herrick into the gloom, stepping back and signalling for the two gangers to close the doors. He offered up a silent prayer, calling on the Emperor to watch over the young warriors. He had tried to teach them everything he knew. From now on, they were on their own. The Hunter moved easily through the crumbling ruins, more at home here than it had ever been in the palaces and landscape parks of the Upper Hive. If it had ever had a name, it had long ago forgotten it. It paused, checking the information relayed to it through its armoured body and savouring the thrill of the replay images being fed directly into its mind from the suit's memory system. Steel claws punching through flesh, the feel of laser bolts and bullets ricocheting harmlessly off armoured skin, the screams of its victims and the images of their faces as they died in agony. It had been too long, scarce 2 hours since its last kill. It felt its body's auto-systems activate into life at the joyous replay of those few bloody seconds. Fibre bundle muscles twitched with life, armoured plates clicked and flexed together, and its claws slowly unsheathed themselves as memory circuits sent an electronic thrill of pleasure through its body. Sensor systems flared into life, invisibly scanning the area and locking on to a distant group of targets moving through the darkness. The prey was still far off, but coming closer. The Hunter turned and moved silently towards it.
"Lan, go ahead and check the way in front of us. Make sure your las pistol is armed and charged,"
Dawn insisted. The Juve gang crouched near a barely lit glow globe, taking cover amongst the twisted girders of a long ago collapsed structure. Dawn barked orders as if it were his given right. He had already assumed natural command of the group.
"Mikhail, stay beside me. Malin, cover our rear, and see that the runt doesn't get lost in the dark."
Their destination was the ritual dueling area out in the wastes of Hive Bottom, the ruins of a one-time settlement long abandoned to bands of mutants and outlaw gangs. It was here they would meet their chosen opponents, but this coming battle was but a small part of the test. Any journey through Hive Bottom was hazardous, and the young warriors were only too well aware
that anything could be waiting for them in the velvet darkness. At the rear of the band, Malin sensed his brother's uneasiness and laid a reassuring hand on Jarl's shoulder.
"Ignore him," he said, levelly. "Stay by me, and we'll both survive this together. Remember what Harrick taught us. Fear is the greatest killer of all, more deadly than any weapon. Conquer fear, and you will be ready to call yourself a true warrior."
Jarl nodded, realizing the worth of his brother's words. He was afraid, but not of the coming battle. He was afraid of this place and the things that roamed its shadows. He pulled nervously at his bandana. A strange uneasiness filled him. A gut instinct that he had come to recognize as a warning of imminent danger. Such instincts had saved him from a knife in the back more than once. Back when he was running with the younger Jews of the Steel Skull settlement, learning how to stalk and fight in the relative safety of the tunnels around the compound. Now, he felt that same familiar sensation of lurking danger again, coming from out there in the surrounding darkness. Somehow, he just knew that something dark and deadly was out there, and it was coming closer. The hunter crouched in the shadows atop a ruined metal shack, watching its prey. The chameleon scales on the surface of its bodysuit shifted to blend in perfectly with its surroundings. Thermally sealed inside its bodysuit, it was invisible even to infrared detection. Its armoured suit had been crafted in the finest artificer workshops of a far distant world, and the suit's enhanced adaptation systems meant that it now possessed extra-evolved abilities that not even its creators could have predicted. The hunter activated its own infrared systems, watching the heat patterns of its prey dance through the darkness. Five of them. Five lost children, all alone down here in the dark. It paused to consider its options. Strategy simulations composed from the stored memories of previous hunts flickering through its hardwired consciousness. The hunter ignored them. Memories of old kills no longer satisfied it. The prey was so close. It hungered for the thrill of fresh combat. It leapt from its perch like a jaguar, sensor systems allowing it to track its prey's position effortlessly through the landscape of ruins. So confidently they moved, so unaware of the potential terrors that surrounded them down here. Inside the skin of its suit, the hunter smiled. They were sent down here to learn, and so it would teach them a lesson in terror. But first, in order for the lesson to begin, they must discover the surprise that lay in wait for them at their destination. After all, thought the hunter, it had gone to such lengths to prepare the scene, and it did not intend for such efforts to go to waste.
"Dead! They're all dead!"
At Lan's shout, the rest of the gang came running with their weapons drawn. They found their terrified comrade standing in the centre of the abandoned settlement. Its crumbling walls and burned-out dwelling holes were a testament to the destruction that had long ago been visited on it by the marauding muti gangs that roam the wastes of Hive Bottom.
"Dead! They're all dead!"
Lan repeated over and over, gesturing at the scene of bloody carnage around them.
"Look at them, Dawn! What kind of thing could have done this to them?"
Dawn looked, stunned by what he saw. He had been prepared for some kind of ambush. The rules of the ritual allowed for almost anything, and victory often went to the first gang to reach the dueling area and set a trap for their opponents. But this was something he could never have foreseen. So far, he had counted five dead Cawdor gangers, although so many body parts were spread across the ground that it was difficult to tell exactly how many of them there may have originally been. One of them hung high above their heads, impaled on a steel beam, jutting out of a shredded walkway. They had all been killed at close range, that much he was certain of, ripped apart and their remains left for the scavengers. But killed by what? He asked himself fearfully. Dawn glanced around him, checking the positions of the rest of the gang. Malin and his runt brother were searching amongst the bodies, but he became uncomfortably aware that Lan and Mikkel were looking to him for some sign of reassurance. As the appointed leader of the hunt, he knew it fell to him to assert his authority over the situation.
"An ambush," he said,
not feeling as confident as he tried to sound.
"Something was waiting for them before they arrived here. Scavvies, most likely. No ganger would kill like this, not even Cawdor scum. Whoever they were, they're long gone from here.
No, this was no ambush. Look at the evidence, Dawn. It is lying all around your feet.
Dawn turned at the sound of Malin's voice, seeing his rival bending down over the butchered bodies of the dead gangers.
There was a full-scale battle here. These Cawdor gangers died bravely as a warrior should, fighting to the last with a weapon in their hands.
Malin stood up, holding up the fused remains of a las pistol marked with House Cawdor battle emblems. He held it out for them all to see, a grim look on his young face.
The power pack on this las pistol has been burned out. Whoever was carrying it kept on firing until he'd exhausted its power charge. And those two Jews?
He gestured with his arm at a pair of sprawling bodies.
The ground around them is littered with spent cartridges from stub pistols. Jarl and I count at least 10 cartridges apiece for each weapon. That means they had time to reload and fire again before they died.
Malin paused, looking directly into Dawn's eyes.
Now, Dawn, this was no ambush. These warriors all died fighting an enemy they knew was coming at them.
Behind Dawn, Mikhail and Lan exchanged nervous glances and raised their weapons. From his position behind Malin, Jarl surreptitiously released the safety catch on his own las pistol, hearing the reassuring hum that told him it was fully charged. Dawn stepped forward, locking eyes with his challenger, but none of them could have failed to notice the new note of uncertainty in his voice.
Not an ambush, then, but I still say this was nothing more than the work of muti scavengers.
He continued to glare at Malin.
Either way, we have nothing to worry about. Everyone knows scavy packs never stick around after a raid. Even now, they'll be far away in their lair, licking their wounds and counting their plunder.
All eyes were on Malin as he crushed Dawn's words with the cold logic of his argument.
Then where are the bodies?
He retorted.
All these shots fired, not one dead attacker. Everyone knows scavies leave their dead and even their injured behind them.
Malin paused, pointing towards the dead bodies around them.
And if it really was scavies that did this, why haven't the bodies been stripped of their weapons and equipment? Jarl and I have checked the area for tracks. All we can find are those of the Cawdor gangers.
Malin stood defiant, awaiting Dawn's answer.
Then what are you saying?
Sneered Dawn, running his hand over his close-cropped hair.
That a ghost? A ghost that can walk through bullets and las blasts came here and killed them all?
It was Jarl who answered, stepping forward to name the unspoken terror word on all their minds.
No, not a ghost,
he stuttered, hesitantly. Everyone turned to stare at him. Malin nodded reassuringly at him to continue.
It's a spira. A single spira did this. We are being hunted, Dawn, all of us. It killed every single one of these Cawdor Jews, and now it's coming after us.
The hunter was close. Closer than any of them dared imagine. From its position high above, perched on the underside of an overhanging walkway, it could look down directly upon them to study its prey, watching them, selecting which one would be the first of its victims. Its senses tuned into the sound of their voices, storing them in memory. The words were unimportant. It had been years since the hunter spoke or listened to the voice of another human being, save the sound of its victim's screams. It listened only to the tone of their voices, realizing after a moment that two of them, the two biggest, were arguing. Let them argue, it thought, as if the question of which of them led the others would make any difference to the final outcome. The hunter chose its target, senses zeroing in on it to study and record. This one was stronger than the others, and the rest would look to it for leadership. The other one talked bravely, but the hunter's senses detected the nervous beat of its heart and the frightened tone in its voice which betrayed its words. Let these striplings follow their new leader, it thought. It would soon show them just how vulnerable they were, when he would be the first to die. The hunter uncoiled itself from its hiding place, scuttling along the underside of the walkway as it moved silently towards its first chosen victim. Spira. Everyone glanced fearfully at each other as Jarl dared to mention that dreaded name. Spiras, cruel hunters from the upper hive, descending down into the depths of the Underhive in packs to hunt their prey, seeking enough kills to return back up the spire to be recognised by their kind as rightful members of the Hive's aristocratic elite. All of the young Steel Skulls gangers had heard fearful tales of the exploits of these most hated of killers, knowing that even the most battle-hardened veterans of their settlement were afraid of such enemies. But it was whispered there was one sort of Spirer even other Spire hunters feared, the lone renegades, those who had developed too much of a taste for death and never returned back to the Upper Hive. Instead, these lone killers remained in the Underhive, adapting to the environment of their new home and mercilessly hunting down all that crossed their path. When such a renegade was discovered, even the most bitter enemies amongst the gangs would join forces to destroy it.
"He's right, Dorn," said Lan, panic breaking his voice. "This is the work of a Spirer."
Malin nodded in agreement.
"We have no other choice. We must abandon the ritual and return to Herrick. He will know what to do. We have to warn our people that there is a Spirer on the loose."
"No!" Dorn snarled, gesturing wildly with his last pistol. "The test is not over! To return now without any kills would bring shame upon us."
He paused, staring hard at the other Jews, daring any of them to contradict him.
"Our enemies are dead, but we have been offered a far worthier opponent to face. The test goes on, and when we return, it will be in triumph to present Herrick with the head of a Spirer."
"This is madness, Dorn,"
Mikhail interjected, trying to reason with his leader. "Even the bravest gangers would not choose to fight such an enemy. I say Malin is right. We should..." Mikhail's voice trailed off as Dorn silenced him with a single threatening glance.
"I am leader here, and I say the test goes on. I thought you were loyal to me, Mikhail. Are you siding with this coward and his runt brother?"
Mikhail stepped back a pace, as if he had been physically struck, staring shamefacedly at the ground and unable to meet Dorn's eyes. Unnoticed, at the back of the pack, Jarl's head buzzed with sudden pain. That feeling again, a sense of utter dread, only stronger now than he had ever felt before. And with it, something else. Strange, alien thoughts, violent and predatory, crowded into his mind from elsewhere. Jarl's vision blurred and the ground span beneath him. Suddenly he was no longer standing with the others. He was hanging in the darkness high above, looking down on the moor. His body was not his own. Instead he felt something sheathed in a cold metallic shell, powerful fibre bundle muscles responding to his every move. He could hear Dorn's challenge to Mikhail, see Malin back off, his hand moving towards his pistol holster, unaware of this new danger above them. There was a rush of air. Jarl felt himself falling. No, leaping. He snapped back into his own body, numbed. He tried to shout out a warning as the thing descended down from the darkness towards its target.
"Malin! Above you! Look!"
Too late. Malin looked up to see the Spirer dropping down towards him. Jarl caught a glimpse of a dark spider-like shape, its outline blurred as though it was a living part of the darkness from where it came. And then it was upon his brother. Malin raised his weapon to fire. Something impossibly fast and terrifyingly sharp flashed through the air. Malin screamed, the last blast from his weapon discharging harmlessly into the air. Jarl fumbled for his own weapon. In the split second it took to draw it, Malin was gone. More laser blasts lanced through the darkness, Dorn, Lan and Mikhail firing upwards, their shots ricocheting off stonework and girders and illuminating the hellish scene in bright flashes. Jarl caught strobing glimpses of the Spirer, carrying the screaming figure of Malin with it, back up into the darkness. At first, Jarl thought the Spirer was actually floating through the air, but looking closer, he saw the gleam of something thin and silvery reflected in the light of the lasblasts. A metallic web line anchored to some point in the darkness above and spun out from the Spirer's wrists, strong enough for it to carry both it and its prey out of range of its enemy's weapons.
Malin! It had taken Malin!
Jarl sank to the ground, knowing that the others were wasting their shots and that his brother was already lost to them.
With a sickening lurch, Jarl saw the object lying on the ground where, only seconds ago, his brother had stood. Malin's severed hand, still clutching the useless las pistol in its lifeless grasp. Jarl doubled over and retched violently, this final horror too much for his shocked senses. He had known that the spider was out there. He had seen it in his mind, known it was coming after them. He should have said something earlier, tried to warn them what was about to happen. If he had, Malin would still be alive. Dawn's boot crashed into his ribs, sending Jarl sprawling across the ground. With a shock, Jarl realised that he had been babbling to himself, speaking his thoughts out loud.
"Traitor!" screamed Dawn. "What do you mean you knew what was going to happen?"
Dawn turned towards Lan and Mikhail, pointing in fury at the figure of Jarl lying at his feet.
"You heard him. You heard him say he knew it was out there. He knew, and he led it straight to us. He's one of them. A witchling. He's been in league with this thing all along."
Witchling. Jarl knew the word. Psychers, some called them. To be so named was a death sentence. The Redemptionist, ruthlessly hunting down anyone suspected of possessing such feared powers.
"Then we should take him back, Dawn," stammered Mikhail, staring at Jarl as if the youth could strike him dead at any moment. "The elders should judge him. It is not for us to decide."
"No!"
Dawn raged, aiming his las pistol directly into Jarl's face.
"He has betrayed us all and led his own brother to his death. He is a traitor, and I shall judge him where he stands."
Terrified, Jarl closed his eyes, fearing he was only seconds away from execution at the hands of the wild-eyed Dawn. But the expected shot never came. Instead, he heard the sound of an echoing voice calling out from the darkness around them.
"Help me, Dawn. Help me, Jarl. Help me."
It was Malin. Malin was still alive, weak and in pain, judging by the agonized pleading of his voice, but still alive. How could that be? Thought Jarl. Spiders never spare their victims. Perhaps Malin had escaped. Perhaps...
"On your feet, traitor," said Dawn,
dragging him to his feet by his clothes.
"It seems your spire master still values the life of its servant."
Dawn jammed the barrel of his last pistol painfully against the back of Jarl's head and hissed into his ear in a voice full of anger and loathing.
"It has spared the life of your brother. Maybe it wants to trade his life for yours."
"Help me, Dawn. Help me, Jarl. Help me."
The hunter looped the recording through its suit's vocal systems, mimicking the voice of its victim. An old trick, but one that had often served it well in the past. The trap was set. Now it would wait and see if the prey took the bait. The young steel skull gangers moved wearily through the ruins, following the distant sound of their comrade's pleading voice. Mikhail and Lan took the lead, cautiously scanning the overhead ledges and structures for signs of their enemy. It had taken them by surprise once already. They were determined it would not do so again. Dawn brought up the rear, roughly pushing Jarl in front of him, his las pistol trained on his captive's back. Jarl stumbled, risking another blow from his ill-tempered capture.
"Dawn," he dared to stammer, "you're making a mistake. You're leading us into a trap. I don't know how, but that can't be the voice of Malin out there."
Dawn silenced Jarl with a painful prod from the barrel of the las pistol.
"Shut up, runt. Try and warn your ally that we're coming and I'll blow you in half."
"Help me, Dawn. Help me, Jarl. Help me."
Dawn signalled for silence, trying to get a fix on the location of the voice. There, up ahead, through the ruins of a tumbled archway, they saw a walkway across a bubbling pool of toxic sludge, its acidic vapours giving off a noxious stench. Through the poisonous mists, they could see something waiting for them on the other side of the walkway. They shuffled closer, covering their mouths to avoid breathing in too much of the fetid air. A couple of paces ahead of his fellows, Lan was the first to see it. He stopped dead, barely able to believe the sight that awaited them. It was the body of Malin, hanging puppet-like from a metal web of razor-edged wire that cut through his body in a dozen places. Malin's head lay on the ground in front of him.
that same mocking voice sounding as if it was coming directly from his lifeless lips.
Help me, Dawn. Help me, Jarl. Help me.
The Spira exploded out of the waste pool. It landed nimbly on the walkway in front of Lan and Mikal, its armoured body streaming with burning pollutants and corrosive acids. Jarl howled in terror as it reared up before its prey. Its sinuous body was composed of black armoured plating which flexed and locked together as it moved. Jarl was reminded horribly of the stories he had heard of the monstrous spider things that inhabited the deepest reaches of the Underhive. Cruel, diamond-edged claws extended from each of its wrists, their blades glistening with lubricants and deadly venom. Its horn-crested head swiveled round towards them, and, with a sudden lurch of fear, Jarl realised that it had no face. Its human features were hidden behind the blank shell of its armour, guided by electronic senses, the extent of which Jarl could only guess at. It came at them at impossible speed before any of them had time to react. With one sweep of its claws, it cut through Lan's throat. The Ganga was dead before he even had time to scream, his body hitting the walkway and his blood jetting out of him in one long spray. Mikhail spun to bring his last pistol to bear, but the Spira was faster, thrusting the wrist blade of its other hand deep into the Jew's stomach. Servo mechanisms tensed as the Spira lifted its still living victim off his feet, raising him high above its head in a superhuman show of strength. Mikhail did scream, a long agonized howl from the very depths of his soul, as the Spira released the blade's venom cells into his body. With a dismissive gesture, the Spira hurled its victim over its head, ripping the blades out from the Jew's body. Mikhail landed on the walkway behind, his body already starting to convulse and contort with agonizing shapes as the deadly venom coursed through his veins. Then the Spira turned to face its two remaining victims.
You bastard!
Dawn hurled Jarl aside and charged the Spira, blasts from his last pistol ricocheting harmlessly off its armour. At the last moment, Dawn dropped the pistol and drew his knife, throwing himself at the Spira with a roar of defiance. The Ganga crashed into the Spira, catching it off balance and sending both him and his enemy backwards into the waste pool. Jarl turned and ran, knowing that Dawn's attack had been a brave but hopeless gesture. Behind him, he could hear Dawn screaming in rage and agony as he tried to pull the Spira down with him into the corrosive depths of the waste pool. Jarl knew the Spira would survive. Nothing could kill it. And it would be coming after him next. He snatched up Lan's last pistol, realizing the futility of the gesture, but wanting to at least die fighting with a weapon in his hand. The hunter pulled itself out of the waste pool, leaving the burning and dissolving remains of Dawn behind it. Neural Lynx ran a damage check on its suit systems. Its armour was corroded in several places, and the burning acids had destroyed its chameleon camouflage system. In time, the suit would repair itself, but the hunter, driven by the need to kill, was oblivious of all thoughts of rest or repair. Even now, its last victim was escaping, and the hunter was determined to finish its game. Jarl ran through the maze of ruins, knowing that the Spira was close behind him. He could feel its thoughts buzzing in his head, whispering horrors that he barely recognised as coming from anything human. Occasionally, he would feel his mind spiral out from under him. Then he would be inside the mind of his enemy, seeing and experiencing everything around it as it moved across the top levels of the ruins, leaping from structure to structure and scuttling insect-like up the sheer sides of walls and shafts. He found himself running towards a rusting metal walkway, maybe a metre wide, spanning a chasm from some long-past earthquake, its sheer sides dropping away into nothingness. The Spira was hunting him, he knew, probably herding him into another of its traps. If only he could control his new ability, focus his visions that flashed through his mind. His boots made the precarious walkway echo beneath his pounding feet. A voice in Jarl's head suddenly screamed a warning, telling him to stop. Jarl threw himself onto the reverberating walkway, seeing in an instant the deadly trap he had almost run into. Strands of the spire's metallic web line strung out across the walkway. If Jarl had kept on running, he would surely have been sliced apart. A wave of terror washed through the young ganger. The spire was just playing with him, toying with him like a cat until it closed in for the final kill. What chance did he, Jarl the Runt, the weakling of the litter, stand against such an enemy? A dark shape swooped low over his head, and Jarl felt a vibration as it landed on the walkway behind him. He hauled himself up and span around to face the spire, steadying his stance on the walkway and gripping the las pistol in both hands. The nightmare stalked slowly towards him, venom-dripping weapon claws slowly extending from their armoured casings. Jarl knew he had nowhere to run. Before him was the spire, behind him the barrier of razor wire web. Below the walkway on either side, a long fall into oblivion. The final trap had been sprung, and the game had reached its end. A terrible sliver of ice ran the full length of his spine.
"Fear is the greatest killer of all," the spire said mockingly, perfectly imitating the voice of his dead brother. "Conquer fear, and you will be ready to call yourself a true warrior."
At the sound of Malin's voice, something convulsed inside Jarl's head. Fear gave way to fiery rage and hatred as he heard this creature, this foul thing, speak with the voice and words of his dead brother. His fury opened up something within him, blossoming like a match igniting kerosene. Something that had been there all along, waiting to be set free. Power, pure, unfocused power, now channeled and released by his rage. Jarl was thrown backwards into the hard, cold metal as he felt some uncontrollable energy erupt from his body, a wave of enormous concussive force spreading out from him in all directions. The walkway beneath him buckled as the aged metal was rent by the supernatural force Jarl had somehow released. With a scream, he realised he was sliding down towards the spire web of razor wire. Jarl scrambled up the slope of the collapsing walkway, grabbing hold of a bent support beam. Turning, he saw the spire leap from the shifting platform as it gave way under its feet. A thin web line shot out from its outstretched wrist, seeking a secure anchor to the structure at the other end of the vanished bridge.
"No, not this time," swore Jarl, determined that the spire would not escape him. "This time the hunt ends here."
Unthinking, Jarl raised his las pistol in his free hand, aiming not at the spire, but at the web line supporting it. He reached out with his mind, focusing his expanded senses on the thin strand of metal glistening in the darkness, and pulled the trigger. A searing bolt of laser energy leapt from his gun, his mind flying out with it, leading it, taking it to its target. The shot hit true, vaporizing one segment of the web line in a flash of white-hot energy. Caught in mid-swing, the spire tumbled down into the darkness, diamond-edged claws throwing off sparks as it tore at the sheer walls of the chasm, vainly striking out to find a desperate handhold.
"No!"
Malin's dead voice cried as the creature fell.
"Jarl!"
And then it was gone, its death scream amplified by its suit's systems. An electronic screech that seemed to echo forever across the hive bottom, long after the spire itself had been swallowed by the chasm.
"Merrick, face it. If Dawn ain't coming back, none of them are."
The Steel Skull gangers waiting by the open blast doors looked more worried about losing their wages than any real sorrow. The old man sighed to himself and turned back towards the light.
"Very well, seal the doors," he ordered. "They had an extra day cycle. We put ourselves at too much risk already by waiting here so long."
Herrick watched as his two lieutenants carried out his orders and silently swore under his breath. He had lost whole parties of Juves to the ritual before, but he'd had high hopes for at least some of this group. But at the last, there would be other tests and other initiates, all of them eager to prove their manhood amidst the dangers that lay in wait on the other side of those doors. From his hiding place, Jarl watched the gangers haul the blast doors closed. He wanted so much to shout, to run towards them, to tell Herrick and the others that he was still alive, that it was over, that he was safe and just wanted to go home. But he knew that would be madness. Everything had changed. Now that he knew what he was, a psyker, a witchling, he knew he could never return home. Not that his stepfamily would mourn him. Not when they had lost a real son. He was orphaned again. He was an outcast, a renegade, doomed to dwell in the darkest places with the others of his kind, the freaks, monsters, and mutants of Hive Bottom. After a long moment, Jarl turned and walked away. He did not look back at the final clank of the bolts when Herrick's men sealed the doors shut behind him. Silently, he slipped off into the shadows, already welcoming the protection and anonymity they offered. Well, there you go. Bit of grim, dark Necromunda fun. Haven't had a Necromunda story for a while. This, of course, is by the great Gordon Renee, the author of Execution Hour and Blood Quest, amongst other things, one of the sort of early great writers for Black Library and Games Workshop. Great stuff, fantastic, love his work. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this. Big vibes of Predator 2, I have to say. I love that movie. Some people don't think it's very good. I, myself, think it's great.
Danny boy.
Thank you all for watching, and if you'd like to support the channel and get your name added to the roll call of honour you see scrolling through, and thank you to everybody who has supported the channel. Your names are here for all eternity. You are honoured with this. And if you'd like to join that list and help out the channel, please do consider becoming a YouTube member or a patron on Patreon, whichever suits you best. But yeah, if you can't do that, or if you can do that, please, in addition, please give the video a like. Let me know in the comments what you think. I'm a proper YouTuber. I'm a professional, as you can tell. Please do like the video and let me know in the comments what you think. Both of those things really, really help a channel like mine grow. I really appreciate it if you could do that. And I'll be back with more stuff very, very soon. I've tried to keep to at least one video a week. I've got some bigger videos coming up, though, so they might take like 2 weeks to get done because they're so long and big and it's a big time investment. So do bear with me. But I think we're back in action now, right, boys? We're back in action with the content. It's coming regular. It's coming fast. I've adapted to my child waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've adapted. I have a new internal time. So now I'm able to work more than I was. So anyway, I will be back again very soon. May the Emperor protect. I will see you all very soon. Bye-bye.